I was a month and a half pregnant when I received divorce papers. And so I was feeling very, very alone. I just still felt disappointed. And because I felt disappointed not in me, I transferred that disappointment to God. God doesn't always answer why. He won't answer why sometimes. Yeah. Because he wants you to build your faith in him. So that's all I've got right now. I know you're good and I know you love me. So what's the lesson? You could fill out your ex's faults in probably less than 3 seconds, that whole paper. Just boom, 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 right? Because I mean, it's just like, it's easy to go, well, he did this and she did that, you know. I had spent those 3 years knowing very well what he had done. And then it hit me, what did I do? Well, the anger that I have, God's going to take me out of ministry. He's going to take me out of ministry. And he didn't.
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner. And Wendy.
What?
You know, when life feels like it's falling apart, and that happens, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
And when things become unraveled, here's the tendency for a lot of people. We begin to believe that, like, God has left the scene. We're on our own, like he's abandoned us. And not quite sure where I'm going to turn to. And then sort of the realization hits that, well, this mess that I'm in is probably my fault anyhow. Well, then I feel disqualified from getting any help from God at all anyhow.
That's true. And then maybe because of the mess, you have shame around it and you feel stuck in that shame and you're afraid to tell the messy parts of your story. I mean, I think we've probably all been there on some level or another. Or you're just unsure on how to move forward from that painful chapter. Well, let me tell you, this conversation will give you a fresh perspective on healing and having your own breakthrough.
Yeah, today's guest is no stranger to pain or breakthrough. 11 years ago, Hannah Ayers walked through this devastating divorce while she was pregnant with her son. So, you know, needless to say, I mean, she hits rock bottom on this and then discovers this path forward.
Yes, she does. And since then, Hannah has become a certified divorce coach. Have you ever heard of a divorce coach? Well, guess what? She's certified. And she helps countless people navigate heartbreak, helps them get healed, and offers them great hope. She's the founder of divorcecoachhannah.org, and she has spent nearly a decade walking with people through the hardest chapters of their lives, helping them find clarity and courage and a new sense of purpose on the other side of divorce.
Yes, so she is this Jesus-loving single mom. She's a fierce truth teller and really a living example that your brokenness does not disqualify you. It might, in fact, be just the start of your ministry.
Yeah. Enjoy the show. Well, hello and welcome, Hannah Ayers, to Your Biggest Breakthrough. It is a delight to have you.
It is so good to be here. It is so good to be here.
Thank you. I just have to say that we haven't known Hannah for very long. I got a chance to meet her a couple of months ago. We actually got to work together on a radio project, which was just absolutely wonderful. And during the breaks, we're telling our stories a little bit, and I'm hearing about Hannah's story. Oh, you've got to be on Your Biggest Breakthrough. You got a great story.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So let's dig in. This really, as we mentioned in the intro, has a lot to do as a result of what you went through a number of years ago with your divorce. But your divorce story is, I mean, really unique in that you're going through this pain of separation, but you're also pregnant at the time. That is so rare and unusual.
Let her tell the story.
All right. So I'm just setting it up.
Yes,
so Hannah, just take us back to that time in your life. And maybe when you hit rock bottom and you didn't know what was going on. So just take us there and walk us through that.
I mean, this was wild in the fact that you're right, Todd. Not a lot of women go through a divorce while they're pregnant, but I did. And kind of like a trailblazer, if you will, but this is not the kind of trail you want to blaze. And so through so many different circumstances, I was a month and a half pregnant when I received divorce papers. And so I was feeling very, very alone. And I didn't, you know, there's so much confusion there. It's just, you know, completely confused. You know, I was really low. My parents have been married for 41 years this month. And so I grew up in a home where I was like, this is not going to happen to me. Like, this is going to be fine. Everything's fine. My sister had married a year previous and she's married to a pastor and happily married still. And so, you know, I just really didn't think anything like this would happen. I didn't plan on this. And so I had been a Christian since I was 8 years old. And so I was actually the first person in my family to come to know the Lord. And so I've been really, really close to him through this entire, you know, in my teenage years, I was just, you know, your typical 90s, early 2000s teenager, you know, just like, I love Jesus and I'm on fire for him and I go to youth groups and, you know, I did all that. And so I loved that. And so I was really close with Jesus. And then I got a string of high profile jobs when I was in my early 20s. And it was almost as though the more doors that God opened for me, the more I was like, well, this is just what's expected. So then when life took a turn and I went back home, it just, the high profile life wasn't for me, honestly. I just still felt disappointed. And because I felt disappointed not in me, I transferred that disappointment to God. And when I transferred that disappointment to God, I didn't pray about future partners and future decisions and future things. And so when I entered this marriage, I wasn't prayerful about it. It was just, I want to do this. And that was not the best decision. Looking back on that now, you know, it led to some consequences that were really hard.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, Hannah, because you're doing all the things, you know, all the checking the boxes of being the good Christian. And then you realize, oh, wait, I never really prayed my husband in and that kind of thing. And the concept, I mean, obviously there's consequences in this particular case, but there's other people that haven't prayed their spouse in and they have a happy marriage. But I'm just curious about your situation and how your view of God changed as you walked through this pain, because I can't imagine what, first of all, how long were you married? Tell us that kind of setup and what happened that did you ever figure out, like, why were you handed those divorce papers? What was this all about?
I am going to kind of shock you with this. I knew my ex-husband for 11 months total. I was married for 3 months. So there were some difficulties there. It was very, very short. I can only say so much because we're still going through litigation. So it's mainly just through me.
Sure.
But at the same time, and I know you're like, that was a decade ago. It was a decade ago. But at the same time, I immediately, to answer your question about my view of God through this time, I would like to tell you that I drew on the strength of God and I, you know, I prayed and reached out to him. That was not the case at first. At first, I was just completely confused and I was really angry at God. I'm just going to be real. Mm. And what made it even more difficult was that at the time I was hosting a live morning show for my market on Christian radio. And so, you know, here I was going through all this.
Trying to put on a happy face.
Every morning it was up to me to be the female to the guy partner I had at the time. His name was Mike Perry and he was amazing. But I was still just kind of like, I have to be up. I have to talk about how good God is. And behind the scenes, I had my doubts. And so, you know, that was a really, really tough time to go, okay, God, why would you do this to me? You know, what's going to happen to us? And, you know, all of this was just kind of up in the air. And so I needed help. I needed help. And for a few months there, I didn't know what I was going to do. And then my dad happened to work with a divorce recovery coach. He does telecommunications. And so this was like kind of out of the blue. And he got a phone call one day from a coworker and he said, hey, I think Hannah needs to go to this divorce recovery program. I think that would help her. And I thank God for that phone call. This was a man I still have never met. He's up in Ohio, you know, I mean, just random call, but wouldn't you know it? And so I went, you know, I had moved back home at the time. I think I was driving my parents crazy. You know, here I was pregnant, divorced, and, you know, all the fallout of that. And so I went to the first class and I was just kind of like, fine, I'm here. Right. And I remember it was near Christmas time. And I did not feel like celebrating Christmas. And I started hearing people talking about the pain of divorce and going through divorce and that there is hope and there is healing. And I was like, I don't believe that at first. And then the second class, I started to believe it a little more. The third class, I believed a little more. And at the time, that was the only divorce care class in this area at all. And that was and I was like looking around and trying to find resources, and the churches weren't, you know, I looked for churches that might have divorce recovery programs. I looked for things like that, and they weren't there. And so, you know, here I am, a Christian radio host, and I'm like, if I can't find these, I'm pretty sure my listeners who are divorced can't either. And so I was like, I think I need to help. And so that's kind of where it turned. And I started training to be a divorce coach. And at the time, in order to make money and ends meet, this is God's sense of humor, friends of mine started asking me to DJ weddings. So here I was.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Like, that is humorous.
It is humorous. It, you know, because it was like, how ironic is it that I am struggling with this pain? I'm struggling with God right now. I'm still trying to be a Christian radio host and be, helpful and hopeful every single day, you know, get the ratings up. And we did. We were one of the best radio shows in the area. And so we were sitting there going, the ratings are high. But I felt like I was pretending. And then God put me as a wedding DJ. And then at the same time, on Sunday nights, I'm helping people with divorce. And I was like, God, you know, what is this, right?
Did this feel like imposter syndrome or fraudulent? Oh, I mean, this probably felt so bizarre.
For sure. But I was sitting there going, why are you leaving me in this? Because I thought for sure at a certain point when I was first walking through this, I thought, well, the anger that I have, God's going to take me out of ministry. He's going to take me out of ministry. And he didn't.
You know, as I'm hearing you sort of unfold the story here, a couple of things occur to me, man. You really got to buck up in a big way when you're going through things that you don't think the normal Christian would go through. And yet you've got to be the happy, normal Christian to thousands of people who are tuned in every day expecting you to be the superstar Christian, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So I think people go through that and they don't know how to reconcile that. You start to feel dishonest and ingenuous, and yet you've got to do a job. So part of what sort of impresses me is that you just stuck to the job. You didn't let it cave you in. You could have very easily.
Yeah.
The other thing that kind of occurs to me is that it's like divine intervention. When you weren't looking for a divorce recovery group, you didn't know anything about it. God seems to reach down at that moment in time that you needed it without you knowing it and gets you there. So in looking back now, I'm guessing you can see a number of places where God's intervention
through
was your
earthly father.
But that his intervention was very clear because of his love for you.
His intervention, I mean, how long do you guys have? I mean, honestly, this past decade, I told you I was earlier that I was saved when I was 8 years old. I came to know Jesus when I was 8 years old. And I had a very childlike and then teenager-like love for the Lord. He's my hero. He's my friend. But you don't test that friendship out until you go through something tough. That's when you test that friendship. Like, how loyal is God? Well, you don't know that unless you're going through something painful. And so while I was walking through one of the most painful things in my life, God came so close to me that I can tell you now that it was kind of like being in an elementary school of Christianity when I was 8 to 20 years old. And now with divorce, it's like, welcome to college. Like, this is me from another side, and I'm going to teach you some deep truths, and welcome to class. And so it was just, it's been a privilege. It's been an honor. And people go, you know, why can you call a divorce a blessing? The main reason I can call divorce a blessing in my life now, a decade later, is because God has taught me lessons. He's invited me to learn treasures of lessons in the darkness that I would not have learned in happy times. And so that's worth it to me. That's worth it to me.
Yeah. And we have all been through a divorce here in this conversation. And there's many listeners that have been through a divorce. And, and God does not want us to have to go through divorce. We all want to be in a healthy marriage. And we are all about the sanctity of marriage and the unity. Mm-hmm. But it happens sometimes. So how do you get through it? And the fact that you were able to go to someone to help lead you with maybe some promptings with questions. And I kind of want to ask how his coaching helped you get out of maybe the funk you were in and then led you into the path of being a divorce coach as well.
Well, the one thing that I got out of the class, the main thing was reframe. Reframe everything. And that's such a life lesson, if you think about it. Anything bad, reframe it. How can this help me? One of the big life lessons I learned through that class was instead of why, ask what. Instead of why, ask what. So a lot of the times we ask, why? Why did this happen to me? Right? That's natural. Humans do that. Why is this bad thing happening to me? But then the first thing that they, one of the first questions they taught me was, what lesson are you teaching me here, God? What lesson are you teaching me here, God? Because God doesn't always answer why. He won't answer why sometimes because he wants you to build your faith in him. And so while you're building the faith at that point, it's humbling to say, okay, God, I don't know why, but I do know you. And I do know that you're good.
That's good.
And I do know that you love me. So that's all I've got right now. I know you're good and I know you love me. So what's the lesson? And then just wait.
That is perfect. Wow. Yeah, that's and that's so applicable to so many different areas of life. So that is really, that's the route to go. I want to ask you because I think one of your core beliefs is that you need to own your part in the whole thing, and that's like really key to your healing. Even as I say that, it sort of makes me uncomfortable because like it's tough.
We
to,
all
like,
have to own
it's
it.
It's like, well, what about you know? And then you point your finger.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Talk about that. What does that mean?
Well, I'll tell you what the breakthrough for me there was that I was sitting on, I still remember this. I was 3 years out from my divorce and I had told my family, I told everybody all of his faults. And let's just be honest, since we're all divorced in this conversation, it's pretty easy. If I gave you a piece of paper and I said, cut, you know, put, take a line down the middle. And on this side, I want you to tell your ex's faults. And then on this side, I want you to tell your faults. You could fill out your ex's faults in probably less than 3 seconds, that whole paper. Just boom, 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 right? Because I mean, it's just like, it's easy to go, well, he did this and she did that, you know? But I was sitting on my front porch, and this was 3 years after the divorce, and I had spent those 3 years knowing very well what he had done. And then it hit me, what did I do? Oh, I did not want to answer that question. And so I'm sitting there in the Tennessee hillsides. That's where I'm from, Tennessee. And I was looking out of the mountains and I just heard that still small voice. What did you do? And so I had to take a time and take a minute and be honest because I knew God knew what I'd done. But I had to be honest and go, I could have done this. I would have done this. Now, I tell clients now, this is not shame yourself. This is not, that's not the point of it. It's being honest with yourself and saying to yourself, hey, if I want, it's learning those lessons. If I want to be a better person and a stronger person out of this divorce journey, then I need to know, what did I do? How can I be better? Humble yourself. How can I be a better person in this next life, in my life, whether I'm single forever or I get married again. Either way, you're bringing in to all your new relationships post-divorce, you're bringing in a new, better, stronger person that is more aware of yourself. And so that was hard. I have to do that with every one of my clients now, and they don't like it.
That's hard. But when you get into the messy of it all, that's what you talk about. That's where real ministry happens, right? When you get into the mess. And so I think about the church as a whole and how on average, I'm not going to say everyone, I'm not going to stereotype, but on average, I would say most people come in with a happy face and want to have like an I've got it all together kind of attitude and whatever. And they just don't think that they can be used if there's anything messy in their life. They want to come off as perfect. Let's talk about that for just a minute and the deception of it.
So like I told you, I had to put on a happy face for the morning show, right? So this was during that time. So for the first, goodness, 5-6 years of my divorce, I was doing a show. I was doing a morning show and I was literally doing a show, right? It was somewhat fake at first, you know, and I was saying, God's good, God's good, God's good. I don't think so really, but God's good, God's right. And so I had to come to grips with that. What do I really believe about God? who is he, you know? And so it's kind of going back to the basics and starting over. And I will tell you, I finally, after 5 years, I truly had gotten to the point, and God had healed me enough to where I went, I know God is good. And I, and you know, at that time, I'm holding my little five-year-old in my arms. He was my mercy, right? He was my healing. He kept me from being focused on just myself and my pain because I had my son. I had to be a mama. And so that helped me. And so I'd grown and healed. And so I've my partner in radio, his name was Mike. He goes, Hannah, why don't you mention you're a single mom on the air? And at that time, we hadn't said it was single. We were just, I'm a mom, and we'd focused on mom, but we didn't really talk about being single. And I didn't want to, especially in front of thousands of people, because somehow that would mean I failed and that would look bad. And my Christian facade wouldn't come off right. And, you know, I knew there were some people that knew that I was divorced, but not my listeners. My listeners just thought of me as a mama. And, you know, we didn't really say it. And I didn't really speak it out loud. And Mike challenged me. And so I went, okay, here we go. And so the next break, we brought up something about a, you know, single mom, single parenting. And I said, and I know that because I am one. And
boy, I bet the phones were lighting up.
Yes. And Wendy, it's so good you said it because that's exactly what happened right after. I mean, just phone call. Hannah texting me, messaging me. Oh, my goodness. I went through a divorce recently. You did, too. And so it's I realized that my ministry all of a sudden just went expanded. It just went huge because I had the bravery to be vulnerable and say, I'm messy too. I'm messy.
Yeah.
So
there's something so healing about that when we become vulnerable, we become honest and we become transparent, and that really frees us up. I just want to go back to something that you said, because I'm just curious about this. You said it was like 5 years or so where you then came to a place of really believing that God loves you and that he had your best in mind and that he's good. Was there anything in particular during that time? Was it just a gradual progression? Because how do you go from thinking, you know, God, where are you? You don't care, to no, God is really good.
I'm tearing up. It was so many things. It was so many little ways that Jesus gently drew me back into his presence. And he was very gentle. You know, he would send people in my life to speak life into my life. You know, very certain people, friends came in and they said, you know, I'm staying in the mess. I'm going to be here and I'm going to speak life to you. Do you want to have lunch today? You know, I'm going to be here for coffee. And I saw Jesus through them. It was through the provision. He just gave and gave and gave. And it got to the point where I got so many various checks in the mail that I didn't know, you know, were coming, that people would say, can you pray over my budget? Because I'd like those checks too, you know? And it's just, you know, and I would, I mean, just a quick example. I remember I was $156.30 short 1 month on paying a bill. And I put my hand on the budget paper and I said, God, I need $156.30. And I kid you not, the next day I got a voiceover job for $160. And so I can't explain that. I can tell you another story. I had a show up in Michigan. I've never stepped foot in the state of Michigan. And I was going to court and I had to pay a court fee. That's usual. And so I was exhausted because I had to go to court a lot through this journey. And I was struggling. And there was this, and I got the flu, wouldn't you know it, the week before court. And so here I was doing a show, and I remembered being vulnerable, being messy really is ministry. So I said, I'm losing my voice, guys, because I have the flu and I'm not feeling very good. I'm sorry, stick with me. And I tried to croak out a show. That's pretty much what I ended up doing. But I had never mentioned my journey, my divorce journey, anything on the air to this station. And so a lady named Beth, God bless her, was up there in Michigan, heard me say that about the flu, walked to the studio up there and said, I want to help Hannah. How can I help her? And they said, well, you can send her a card. So she sent me a card. Well, I went to court on a Thursday. I got home. This was a week and a half later. And I got a card in the mail from Beth. And I had my phone in one hand and I had the card in one hand. And I open it up, and a lady I don't know that I've never met in a state I've never been in had sent me $250 in cash as a, hey, get well, hope you feel better soon. Here's a note of encouragement.
Wow.
At the very same time I'm standing in my driveway, the court fee for that day popped up on my phone. Guess what it was?
$250.
And so God had used Beth, a lady I never met. I did go on the phone with her after that to tell her the story. And, you know, it's things like that. And so God was just like, I'm here, Hannah. Yeah. I'm here. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, Hannah, there's so many people who need to hear that right now, because when you feel like you've maybe been abandoned or you're not quite sure, God, where are you? What I'm hearing you say is just keep your eyes open and recognize that some of those little things are really His interventions and His ways of showing He's here, He cares, He loves you. And I'm guessing you could fill a book with all the stories of God's little fingerprints all over your life to reassure you of that.
I can, for
sure. And one of the things I'll say too, though, is that you still had hope and faith, or you wouldn't have prayed over your finances, right? Like, some people are in such a place that they're not even able to pray. They're not even able to muster that up. So what would you say to somebody right now? Because this is actually being aired during the Christmas week. And I know this was during the time when you were delivered those papers. Someone is sitting there right now saying, you don't understand, Hannah, this is happening. And I just don't have this. And I can't. What would you say to them? They just don't feel like they have hope in this season.
I would tell them first, I've been there. And if I could give them a hug, I would give them a hug right now and tell them that there is hope, and tell them to be honest, because our God is so big that He can take your stuff. And so I remember getting in the car, and this was 1 year, this was around Christmas time, 1 year after the divorce. Again, Christmas was hard, and Christmas is hard. It's so hard. But I got in the car and I drove the back roads and I prayed the most honest prayer I think I've ever prayed. And it was loud and it was messy. And I didn't really care about it being holy per se. It was just, God, I don't understand this. I don't understand you. You make no sense. I just let it out. And I didn't want anybody else to hear me. That's why I was in the car on the back road, so no one could hear me. And I cried and I cried. And I will tell you, after I got it all out of my system, I heard His voice again. And I realized that I wanted to hear His voice. I wanted to know Him more, that I wanted to be right, that I wanted to be hold this hurt inside. I wanted Him, and I wanted Him to heal me. And that's all I wanted. And that was the good enough start for me to start opening my eyes again to see Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get tears in my eyes.
Yeah. That's just so refreshing.
Beautiful.
I think sometimes we think God can't handle our outbursts.
Yeah.
He can.
That's just not very holy. But I think He embraces our honesty with Him. I mean, it's a relationship.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. I want to go over to something that sort of caught my attention. Some information that you gave us about the bear hunt principle that you reference in your recovery and grief process. What in the world is the bear hunt principle?
Yeah, notice I didn't tell you any of that because I wanted to explain it real time. So the bear hunt principle, I do it in class. I do it in my classes. I have co-ed group classes I have for years now. And it's so needed that there are people that come to our classes outside of the church. I've had atheists in my class. I've had Buddhists in my class. Because, I mean, imagine that, the church being a beacon of hope through a difficult time. And so I'm just plugging that. I'm shouting that out just so if you're listening to a church, you know, if you're a church pastor or ministry leader and you're listening right now and you're going, you know, a divorce recovery ministry, we haven't done that. Do it.
It's needed.
It's so needed. So the bear hunt principle is actually from a BBC children's cartoon called The Bear Hunt. And so I was actually watching this one winter day with my son, and I got so into it and understood what they were teaching these children that I started sobbing while I was watching the cartoon. And I went, oh, that's the principle. That's the principle that I need to teach. And it's so beautiful. So I actually force my clients to watch it. So what it is it's a 30-minute cartoon. And they were like, oh, this is silly. But it's talking about three young kids that just lost their grandfather. And there's a teenager and two little kids. And the teenager says, let's go on a bear hunt because his mom and dad went to go comfort grandma because grandpa's gone. And so he has nothing to do on the afternoon. So he says, let's go. He's just trying to waste, the, you know, get their energy out. So they first come to this muddy bog. And he said, we can't go over it. We can't go under it. We have to go through it. Okay. So they go through this muddy bog and they get some mud on them, but hey, they get through it. Then they go through this dark forest. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. We have to go through this dark forest. So they go through the dark forest together. They get to this beach and it's kind of wet too. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. We have to go through it. And then they finally reach the cave where they find the bear. And wouldn't you know it, it has grandpa's scarf on. And so they get scared and they run back, right? They run all the way back to their home and they're safe. And it hit me why the story, which there's a story that was the basis for this cartoon, why the author wrote this and why the cartoon was such a hit, and it was a huge hit over in England, was that it was teaching children when you go through tough stuff. For them, it was grief. They lost their grandpa, and they couldn't go over that grief. They couldn't go under that grief. There was no shortcut to this grief. They were going to have to face this grief head on. And so they had to go through the grief. And so when I was watching that, I was like, that's divorce. That's grief. That's challenges in life. But divorce, too. You have to go through the pain. You have to sit in it. And so that night, I actually sat down and felt my pain again and felt it because I knew that God was bigger than my pain. And so I invited him to meet me there and said, God, I want to go through whatever pain that I've not gone and dealt with head on yet. But please meet me there. And he walked me through that pain. And I'm telling you, I was like, I left with so much joy because I didn't try to shortcut it. I didn't go over it. I didn't go under it. I was like, I got to sit through this. Yeah.
Oh, man, Hannah, I know that that is speaking to somebody right now.
Yeah.
And it's powerful. And so I'm thinking about how when people go through traumatic, you know, experiences, whether it's divorce or whatever it is in life, people tend to want to isolate, right?
Yeah.
They feel like they're a burden or, you know, they don't want to be around people because they're no fun. I mean, all the things. They just don't know how to process. And so what would you say to someone who's just really been isolated? How do you help them step out of that isolation and understand that community is where it's at?
First off, you're not alone. You're not the only divorced person. You're not. So often we lie to ourselves, and when we're going through such tremendous pain, we begin to think we're the only divorced person on the planet. No one knows how we feel. No one knows how I feel. That's not true. There are a lot of people that know how you feel. And so the first step to getting back to who you are is to be vulnerable enough, not just vulnerable with God, that's number one, but vulnerable enough with people and say, hey, I'm a mess. I'm divorced. This hurts. I'm in pain. But it goes further than that, because as you grow, you stop talking less about yourself and you start turning around and going, oh, I can help that person. Oh, I can help that person. That's actually a marker to know that you're human.
That's right.
Is to be able to turn around and go,
serving
that person. I need to serve them. It's not just about my pain. It's about them too. And so all of that helps you grow. That's one of the ways you know you're growing and you're healing, is to know that you can help somebody else.
So good.
That's very good. Listen, as we just begin to wrap things up, I want to make sure we cover the things that are most important to you. Because I'm thinking about, there may be someone listening right now who's been through a divorce. Maybe it's been just recent. Maybe it's been a while. But there's still these pangs, this place of grief. Or
they need to pull the roots out.
Yeah, times, right. Times where there just seems to be almost like phantom pain. Like it just, there's this constant echo. And I can't seem to get my way out of it. What sort of advice could you give them? Where's sort of the starting point for the real true healing that needs to take place?
Number one is to just say, be honest. Say, God, I don't know where I am. I don't know why you put me here. In fact, I'm not really a big fan of yours right now. I'm angry at you. I just don't know where I am. but I am willing to hear you out. I am willing to sit here until you give me step one. Number two, don't isolate. It's going to be hard. If someone who is a radio host who is known in this entire market can go to and I was very visible, can go to a local divorce care class and go, hi, I'm divorced and I'm struggling and I'm a new single mom and I need help. It is hard, friend. I know exactly how that would feel, but go. You'll be thankful you did. And number three is to be patient and know that this journey is a journey for a reason. This is not going to be a sprint. It is going to be more of a marathon. It's going to take a little bit of time. You're going to go in highs and lows. But every single day that you walk with God and you say, God, I'm not a big fan right now, but I need your help, you're going to start to be a big fan of God, because God is going to gently heal you and bring you towards him. And you're going to have a closer relationship with God. If you choose God through the divorce, you're going to have a better relationship with God than you have ever had before. But you have to choose him.
Yes. Amen. That's
beautiful. Wow. That is so good. So yes. Practical. So right on. And thank you for sharing that, because that's what you've experienced in your own life. And I think about, I don't want this to sound corny, but this is for real. When the Bible says God can work all things together for good for those who love him, I look at your life and I'm seeing where you're at today, the contributions you're making in bringing people into a place of healing with the Lord and a deeper relationship is all the result of you going through that not so good thing. And yet God is using you and you're making it for his glory, for his good and the best, and in the best interest of others. So
yeah. And maybe you're actually helping people come to the Lord. You said you've got atheists and Buddhists and that kind of thing that come to your classes. So, hey, that's pretty powerful. I was thinking about those listening, because I'm curious, like, how's your son doing? Like, I'm thinking of this little guy. Like, I just have a big heart for him. How's he doing?
He is 11 years old now. He's in middle school. He is the pitcher of his baseball team. He is a little bit of got a little bit of Casanova going on. he's all into like some girls now. He's great. He's straight A and B student. But the most thing that I love about
he's thriving.
The number one thing about my son that I love is that his heart for God and his heart for others is so powerful. And he's so brave. And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful to watch him grow more in love with the Lord that I thought had abandoned me. And now I can see that because I said, God, I choose you. Not always perfectly. I was messy a lot. But because I said, Jesus, I choose you. Let me see you through this. He's not only brought me through, my son got to see him pull me through. Yeah. And that made him want to know the Lord more.
Yeah. That right there, like drop powerful. The mic. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm a mom with just one son as well. So like, I'm like, yes, like as long as our boys know the Lord, we're like drop
that's
the mic
main
on
thing.
Everything, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's all that matters. Yeah. So, okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I feel like we could talk to you all day, but I do know that you have something special for those that are listening that really are looking to seek some help. And so thank you. Hannah is offering a free 30-minute one-on-one coaching session if you go to divorcecoachhannah.org and use the promo code breakthrough, then you will get that free coaching call. Do it. That's all I can say is do it. Hannah did it. You can do it.
Yes.
So thank you for that. That is such a gift.
Hannah, you are a blessing and a tremendous inspiration. You've just given a lot of encouragement to people who really need to believe that there's hope on the other side and that there are good things in store for them. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thanks. God bless you.
Thank you, Todd and Wendy.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough Podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com, where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment. And we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.